Hi, it's Dave. So Gordon Johnson was on CNBC the other day sharing his bear case on Tesla. And in this video, I'm going to share a 2-minute video clip from that interview, and I'll go ahead and share a rebuttal.
Listen, let's be honest. Consumer Reports just put out their reliability report. Tesla is ranked 27 out of 28, the second least reliable car in their report. Let's look at the numbers. This isn't what I think. This is factual. BYD is outselling Tesla in battery electric vehicles in China. VW is outselling them in battery electric vehicles in all of Europe. We think in the U.S., Ford will probably take that mantle, or GM next year. The batteries they're putting in their car are from CATL in China. Every single car out there that's coming to the U.S. can either match or beat them in real-world mileage. And with respect to autonomous driving, they rank dead last. The New York Times just put out a great expose where they allege that Tesla effectively put out this painted black video in 2016 that's still on their website, where they effectively, this is alleged, faked the entire video and the car actually crashed, whereas they say in the video, the car is driving itself. So they don't lead in any technological aspect. The only advantage they have is in superchargers. I think that's why Elon Musk is aggressively trying to get the $7 billion taken out of the BBB bill, because if that $7 billion is kept in, all of the other guys who are coming to the U.S. who can beat them on real-world range, who can beat them on autonomy, who can beat them on technology, will now have that supercharger network, and Tesla will have no advantage. With respect to the $140 billion in the Build Back Better bill for autonomous tax credits, Elon Musk, he's saying he wants that taken out. I think this is gaslighting. Listen, he's already increased the price of his cars over the past month by roughly $7,500. So he's already taken that money the government's trying to give to the auto buyer and put it in his pocket. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the additional $4,500 for union cars to be taken out of the bill. And I think the reason he's trying to do that is because that would give Ford and GM an advantage over Tesla. So this idea that he's trying to, you know, expand EVs for all, I mean, his actions say the exact opposite. So I think you got to look at what he's actually doing.
All right, let's go ahead and unpack this laundry list of negative points by Gordon. I'll go ahead and link to the full video interview in the video description below. Here are the main points. Number one, Tesla supposedly ranks 27 out of 28 in the Consumer Reports reliability report. So a few things about this. First, in my opinion, the Consumer Reports reliability report isn't the best indicator of reliability because they tend to overemphasize kind of minor details like fit and finish versus true reliability. A second point is Consumer Reports has a customer satisfaction rating, and this is actually far more important than just a reliability report. And in the overall customer satisfaction, Tesla ranks top 3 out of the top 4 vehicles that Consumer Reports has tested, by far the most dominant brand in their customer satisfaction. All right, point number 2, Gordon says that BYD is outselling Tesla in battery electric vehicles in China. So a few points on this. First off, BYD sells a lot cheaper vehicles than Tesla's, completely different class. They also have over 10 different EV models, and so their sales are spread out over a complete lineup. Tesla still is only competing in a much smaller luxury car market. That is until they release their $25,000 vehicle. So I don't think this is comparing kind of the similar types of vehicles. All right, number 3, he says that VW is outselling Tesla in battery electric vehicles in all of Europe. But here's the point, Tesla has no local production in Europe, and they just started to sell the Model Y in Europe, which is going to be their top-selling vehicle next year once they start local production. And I think this is the misunderstanding of Tesla. Tesla has a different strategy where they're not trying to spread out their bets in markets that they're not going to be dominant in. Rather, Tesla is extremely focused and disciplined. They will only enter markets or market segments that they know that they will dominate with their vehicle. Think about the Model 3 dominating the whole BMW 3 series market, right? The Model Y, the whole X3, market. And so Tesla will dominate. And right now they're just getting started, right, in their market segment kind of proliferation with the kind of top end cars and then down to the more of the affordable luxury cars. And next up with their $25,000 car, or who knows, it might be $30,000 with inflation, but they're going to go into the more of the economy markets, and you're going to see a massive, massive, I think, destruction of market leads by all of the incumbent OEMs. All right, number 4, Gordon says that Ford or GM will probably outsell Tesla in the US next year. I'm not sure where he's getting these estimates, but according to Morgan Stanley just last month, they're saying that Ford and GM are likely going to sell between 100 and 150,000 EVs each in 2022. However, if you look at Tesla's expectations, they're trying to deliver 500,000 vehicles or more just in the U.S. next year. This is at least a 3 or 4 times, right, greater number of vehicles that Tesla is going to sell compared to GM or Ford. All right, number five, Gordon says that every EV coming to the U.S. can match or beat Tesla in real-world mileage. All right, we just have to take a step back and pause for a second and ask ourselves, are we living in this in an alternative reality, like the Twilight Zone, where everything is backwards or opposite? This is just the craziest thing. How is it that every EV coming to the U.S., right, is matching or beating Tesla in real world mileage? It doesn't make sense. I looked at car drivers 2022 EV profile, and I looked at all of the cars that were at the Model 3 or Model Y price point or lower, and you had the Mach-E, the Polestar, the ID4, the Chevy Volt, Hyundai Kona, Audi Q4 e-tron, Kia Niro, Jaguar I-Pace, Nissan Leaf, Volvo XC40. These are pretty much most of the cars, all the cars I could find. And every single one of them actually has a lower range than the Tesla Model 3 or the Model Y. So I'm not sure where Gordon is saying that every single car is going to have greater range than Tesla's. All right, number six, Gordon says, in autonomous driving, Tesla ranks dead last. Wow, big, big claim. So what's the reality here? Well, the reality is that Tesla is first in full stack FSD or full self-driving features. If you look at it, they're the only ones who have put the actual hardware, the cameras in the car, the full self-driving in the car. They're the ones who are doing the labeling themselves, the whole neural nets, the whole computer training, the whole over the air software updates, and the whole iterative process. Tesla is the only one doing this at massive scale. Second, Tesla is clearly the leader in data with their massive fleet. They have the highest quality data, right, of edge cases, and this really matters with artificial intelligence. They also are the first in real-world usage with this type of like autonomous or semi-autonomous features. Of course, there are others like Waymo who are doing very limited scale, but I'm talking about like a deployment, right? We're having already thousands of people, right, real-world consumers using this on the streets with FSD beta. When I look at what's going on, Tesla is clearly in the lead with autonomous driving. Even if you say that they're not clearly in the lead, I think it's ridiculous to say that Tesla is dead last. That just doesn't make any sense at all. All right, number seven, Gordon says that Tesla doesn't lead in any technological aspect. Now, I think if you ask any OEM out there, like Ford or GM or BMW, and they would actually disagree with this. They recognize that Tesla has actually a lot of leads in many different aspects. But Gordon says they have no lead in no aspect technological at all. So what's the reality? The reality is that Tesla is the only mass manufacturer automaker with 30% gross margins and 15% operating margins. This is according to the last quarter. And all of this is due to their technological lead in almost every aspect of manufacturing. You don't get to 30% gross margin or 15% operating margin if you don't have a lead, right? You have leads in hundreds and hundreds of processes. That's how you're able to do it. Tesla is the leader in battery technology and next generation battery manufacturing. We're going to see this ramp in 2022 with the 4680 cells. They are the leader in software. Other automakers still have trouble like with over-the-air updates, but Tesla's been doing this for years. Tesla is a leader in safety, right? All their cars are top-notch, by far the safest cars out there. Tesla is a leader in vertical integration. By far, compared to any other mass market automaker out there, Tesla is producing more of the car themselves, right, than any others. Also, Tesla is a leader in vehicle electronics, in motors, in power systems, in supercharging, and more. It just goes on and on and on. It blows my mind to think that someone thinks that Tesla has no lead in any, right, technological area. All right, number eight, Gordon goes on and says Tesla's only advantage is with their superchargers. He says if Biden's Build Back Better plan passes with EV charger subsidies, then other automakers will beat Tesla in real-world range, autonomy, technology, and supercharging. Basically, he's saying if, right, there are other superchargers out there, Tesla has no lead, and then, right, they are kabunk, right, gone. Let's reflect on this. I think it's amazing. It's 2021, and we still don't have a legitimate supercharger kind of competing network out there. And I actually think that, you know, I hope that EV charger subsidies will help, right, do something. But in my opinion, it's all about priorities. Tesla was able to establish a supercharger network with not a lot of cash, even when they were a startup, right? And even today, You know, it's like other auto manufacturers, they could come together and make their own supercharger network that works as well as Tesla's if they just have the priority. But back to Gordon's point, to me, I think it's kind of crazy to say that Tesla's only advantage is supercharging when Tesla is making industry-leading margins on their vehicles and they're dominating their market segment, not just against other EVs, but against comparable ICE cars. Like that to me is the true test. All right, number nine. He goes on and says, Elon has already increased the price of cars by $7,500. So taking money that government wants to give to auto buyers and putting it in his pocket. So he's referring to the EV tax credit that Tesla has raised the prices already. To me, this is an uncalled for accusation saying Elon wants to put more money in his pocket, kind of questioning his motive. In my opinion, Tesla doesn't want 2 or 3 year waits for their vehicles. There's already an extreme amount of demand. New and used car prices have just skyrocketed with inflation and supply chain shortages. So in a lot of ways, Tesla's been forced to raise their prices, right, just to keep the wait reasonable. All right, number 10, Gordon says that Elon is not trying to expand EVs for all and that he wants to remove the $4,500 union bonus. Yes, it's true. You know, if you want to be fair, you don't want that $4,500 union bonus because, yeah, why have it in there? There is no, you know, justification, in my opinion, for that. You want all auto manufacturers, and even like Toyota and Honda and a bunch of others are complaining because this is just not fair to favoritize, let's say, union-built vehicles. Anyways, I think, yeah, it's kind of a low blow on attack on Elon's motives, saying that he doesn't want to advance EVs for all, because this has been one of Elon's main objectives, and he's done more than any other individual out there to advance the cause of EVs. All right, later on in the interview, Gordon makes a couple more points. Number 11, he says that Tesla's CFO says that gross margins will come down due to ramp of two new factories. The reality is, on last earnings call, Zach Kirkhorn said that the two new factories, Austin and Berlin, will have a downward gross margin pressure because of ramp inefficiencies. But he talks about operating margin is likely going to improve over the next 4 or 5 quarters. And he talks about upside on gross margin with higher FSD take rates as FSD matures. So yeah, it's a great overall picture going forward. And I think, you know, Gordon is just nitpicking one part out of context. All right, point number 12, he says that Tesla has no new models next year and has volume risk, right? I mean, risk of underperforming with volume. Now, Tesla has their hands full with their existing demand for existing models, and they're ramping two new factories, right? They don't have even the Model Y selling at all, pretty much, or barely at all in Europe. And yeah, there's a huge pent-up demand for their vehicles. They don't need a new model, even though, yeah, Cybertruck is supposed to come out, right, or at least start production next year, we'll see. Now, there's always going to be execution risk, in my opinion, but I think it's rather low next year because the Model Y that they're going to be rolling out and ramping in Austin and Berlin, it's not a new vehicle. They already have Model Y lines in Fremont and Shanghai. So this is something they're just replicating, improving on. The new thing is 4680, right? And this is kind of the question mark of is how much, right, can Tesla ramp of these new battery cells? All right. So I want to offer Gordon and all the Tesla bears out there a service and kind of suggest a better bear case out there. So here are just 3 points. First, if you're making a bear case, I think you could say the Fed ending QE or quantitative easing, their bond purchases, and raising interest rates will put negative pressure on generous multiples investors have given Tesla and other growth stocks. And number two, you could say if the global supply chain issues resolve and the EV tax credit isn't passed, then Tesla will be forced to lower prices and will be hit negatively on margins. Because basically you could say, oh, supply chain shortages have increased, right, new and used car prices for everyone. Tesla's raised prices. But once the supply chain problems solve, they'll have to lower their prices and they don't have the EV tax credit hypothetically, then it's going to hit their margins. Investors might give lower multiples than they did before, you know, for Tesla, and you're gonna see the valuation of stock price come down. All right, number three, there's FSD. Full self-driving execution risk. So you could say, hypothetically, NHTSA is likely to be more aggressive in regulating Tesla's FSD program, leading to extreme delays and opportunities for other companies to close their lead. Don't underestimate the appointment of Missy Simmons as senior NHTSA advisor. Now, this is reality. This is a legitimate issue and risk ahead for Tesla that they need to navigate. But yeah, you can make, I think, a better kind of bear case off of the realities of the market out there. Okay, but overall, I want to close with this. There are certain implications of being a bear or an outspoken kind of, not just bear, but saying that Tesla has no lead technologically at all, right? That demand's going to just tank, et cetera, for their cars. And I think it's a peculiar time to be a bear against Tesla. And the reason why is Tesla is going into one of the most massive kind of production ramps ever in 2022. They have the coming online of two huge new factories in Austin and Berlin. They're ramping to 4680 cells. This is the holy grail, right? For them to bring down the cost of production, increase range and performance of their cars. They're doing one-piece castings. They're revolutionizing manufacturing. We're going to see just huge improvements to their overall efficiencies during the next year and production levels. And if things go decently well for Tesla next year, you're going to see every quarter just get better, right? With revenue and with margins and with profits. It's kind of like being bearish or shorting Apple during the first 5 years of their iPhone run, or being bearish on Amazon during the past 15 years. There are certain companies, certain generational companies in their prime growth stages where it's just pretty obvious, right, that these companies are going to become massive big winners. Obviously, there are question marks where Tesla is going to end up, and I think we can all choose to agree or disagree, and that's fine. Anyways, I hope this video has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast too. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.